learn more about that. It's going to be on Tuesday. And we're going to cover three topics: prophecy, interpretation of tongues, and speaking in tongues, which is the one we talked a little bit about last week. And so I think that's going to be a really good study. And so I encourage you to continue to learn about Jesus Christ being the cornerstone of all. And today we're going to talk about love. Love. You know, young people like to use that word, right, when they want to, like, go out with a girl or a girl wants to go. Love, you know. Oh, I love, you know, love. It's so easy to use the word, right? He said he loved me. This must be real. Right? Right? Well, as we're going to study today, the word love is heavy. A lot of responsibility comes with love. And I want to cover that because as a church, we need to love. You know, when we went to camp, there was just some people we don't know, and they kind of pointed our church out. We were there, and they said, you know, we have something to share with you about your church, kind of like prophetic words from God. And we listened, and they said that we're a gateway. As a church, we're a gateway, and they prophesied that people will know who we are by our love, one for another. And, you know, I received that, and the church did, that we were there. And this is an important topic. We have to love people. Amen? Love people. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. So I want to go on that topic today. The church, part three, love. Love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 and 3. So last week we studied the gifts of the Spirit and how Paul emphasized so much that things need to be done in order, in decency and in order in the church. And he gave us real good scripture about the prophecies and how those things work and how the church cannot become a show about the gifts. The church has to become about edifying the church, the people. And we talked about that in detail. So if you need to hear that sermon, you can go online and hear that one about the gifts. But today, we go back to the PowerPoint slide real quick. We can I got the next slide. No, not that one. Go to the second one. The next one. Just go through them. Here, we started with the characteristics of a church a few weeks ago, and we qualify according to Scripture. So next slide, please. And then we talked about the gifts, and I want to quickly just show them in review. Faith, if you want a list of these, you can write them down, or you can read them in those Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, or Ephesians 4. And in the context of spiritual gifts, let me say this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, let's read. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and I have knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, and I have not love, which is charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. As we read last week, the gifts of the Spirit, and we read this scripture today, you get the sense about, it's not about the things going on and the gifts. It's about love. It's about love. Because if you can do amazing things for God, you know the right words to say, and you know all that, and yet you don't love as God intends us to love, then all of that means nothing. And so Paul really does a good job of focusing on how important the gifts are, how they should be used in order, how they edify the church. That's all beautiful. And it's amazing. And we witnessed some of that this morning when we're worshiping and in concert. You know, when it's time, you know, to be softer, you know, you kind of are soft, and it's time we start rejoicing and praise God. And people, you know, people's personalities take over. People who get excited in their real life get excited in the church too. That's okay. And people who are more subdued, you know, when God really starts, they're subdued too. That's okay. But it's in order. And he said how important those things were. But then he comes back and makes a point. All of that is nothing if we don't love, if we don't care for people. Amen? So I find that when my Christian walk gets complicated and when I feel like I'm not sure what the next step is in my life or I'm not sure how God's going to resolve this situation, I find myself in those times to always go back to the basics. And I believe this morning, you know, I felt that it was kind of leading that way with a back to the basics. What is back to the basics? Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love. God loves us. God knew that we were destined to a lost darkness, and our only chance was a perfect lamb to be sacrificed for our sins. And Jesus was that lamb. That was the only way. And God, for God loves us, that he did that for us. And that's the simplicity. When things get complicated, go back to that. And then in John 15, just a few chapters down, John 15, chapter 12, Jesus says these words, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So this, the whole gospel story, the whole good news is about love. God loved the world. He sent his Son. Jesus loved the world. He died for it. When things get complicated, always go back to Jesus, his love, who he is, what he can do. He says, ask anything. Don't ask it selfishly, but ask it for kingdom purposes, and all things are possible. All things are possible. In 1 Corinthians, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. I'm going to read it in the King James Version first, and then we're going to read it in another version that I found that I liked as well. But I'm going to read it here first, and then we'll switch to the PowerPoint where I have it in the other version. Let's read King James first. Charity, which is love, suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Bearing all things, believeth all things, hope all things, endureth all things. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For as we know in part, so we prophesy in part. So this is saying that love never fails. The gifts, all of these things are needed in the church, but they will fade away when Jesus comes back. Amen? We won't need those gifts because we will be in his presence all the time. And I read this and I said, well, the King James is a little wordy. It doesn't grasp the full measure of what love is. Remember when I said that teenagers are, you know, we like to use this word, we love. But when I read it in this other one, if we go to the PowerPoint, the last slide, it put things a little bit in perspective for me in how much of a responsibility love really is. Oh, is it small? Yeah, it's kind of small. Well, let me read it for you. Love endures with patience and serenity. When you love, you have patience toward one another. And we need to have patience, amen, for one another. Love is kind and is thoughtful. It is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not injustice. I'm sorry, it's not provoked. Not overly sensitive and easily angered. Not overly sensitive and easily angered. Amen? Is that hitting anywhere? Love is patient. One thing we learn about human beings is that they're emotional and they'll say things that are off ugly sometimes, right? And we take that and we're like, I'll never forgive that person. Well, love is patient. Love is not overly sensitive and easily angered. So we need to, and remember when I said when young people, they use this word, or when we use this word loosely, and we read it like this. When you say to somebody we care, we love, then part of that is sometimes when they say something to just kind of hold no offense and move on and care and love. Well, you're asking a lot, Pastor. Remember, Jesus paid it all. It's worth it all. Because when we begin to love, people begin to come to His kingdom. And that's what it's all about as a church body. So it's not rude. It's not self-seeking. You know, sometimes we love somebody as long as they do what we want. Right? Isn't that human nature? Well, love is not about trying to get the other person to do everything that you want. That's not love. Love is not self-seeking. It's not sensitive and it's not easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. Wow. Next time you say love to somebody, read that one. Somebody might want to write that down so you can quote it back. When you say you love, it does not take into account a wrong endured. Wow. But they deserve it. They're so awful. And again, we deserve eternal darkness, but Jesus loved. He loved. He loved. Love does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth. You know, sometimes when we love our children and we protect them to the point where we justify things that are not right just to protect them, that's not love. I'll say that again. When we defend our children when they're wrong, in the concept of school, they have to honor authority. Oh, but the teacher has favorite. You have to honor authority. So when we begin to justify things that are not just, that's not love. Because we want to teach our children order and honoring authority. Amen? Because that's what the Bible says. That's who God is, a God of order. So it does not rejoice at injustice. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. Love bears all things. What does that mean? Regardless of what comes, we love. We believe all things. What does that mean? Looking for the best in each other. I love that description. Because when I read this in the King James Version, it says believe all things. I was like, what does that actually mean? Love looks for the best in people. Look for the best in people. It's in there. Look for the best in people. Love hopes all things. What does that mean? remain steadfast in their faith during difficult times. When we say we love God, then we stay steadfast in all things. That's love. And endure all things. In other words, without weakening, believing, staying strong in the Lord. So as I read it this way, the concept of love, the church needs to love like this. You saw the harvest? You saw the young people with their hands raised? And they need to see love, the real love, where we don't judge them for every action. What's wrong is wrong, but we love, we care. We lead them to truth as a church. And in your home and in your own Christian walk, in your own heart, all these concepts apply. Love one another. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold offenses. Don't let every little thing get out of proportion. And here's one thing I like to tell people, that whenever there's a family feud and they try to pull you in, you run. Because let me tell you what will happen. It will happen exactly like this. They will force you to pick sides of the family member, and then they will love each other because, you know, blood's thicker than water, right? They'll forgive each other, but they'll never forget that you took a side. Have you ever seen that happen? I was like, no, I'm never getting involved again. So run away from that. When you're not in, just run. Because that's what ends up happening. But love, you can say to someone, I'm not getting involved, but I'll pray for you guys. Love, care. Love and care. See, that's what the world needs. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, last scripture, and we're going to wrap this up today. I hope the Sunday school class wasn't too short for them, but just see how this goes. And now, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, love, these three things, but the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Remember, last week I kind of talked about that word greatest when it's used in the Bible. The greatest of these, prophecy is greater. It doesn't mean that it's better. It means that in the concept of a church environment, it is more beneficial to speak a prophecy. And then that's what it was talking about. And in this context, in the context of a church, what's most beneficial is that we love one another. Hope is great. We need hope. And faith, we need faith. But how is hope and faith going to help somebody if we don't love them? So it's most beneficial. See what that means? So it doesn't mean that, you know, love is greater as far as better. It's just in church we need to love. What is it that we're all doing wonderful and we're worshiping God together and God's moving, and then when we finish the service, like, you could care less about the person next to you. Love one another. Care. When one goes through something, we all go through something. Amen? That's the church. That's the body of Christ. That's who we are. Love. The most beneficial, the one that we need more than anything else, Paul made it very clear, is love. What kind of love? Well, this kind of love that doesn't hold grudges, that isn't easily offended, that looks at the best in people, that through difficult times endures all things. That's love. See that harvest that we saw in that picture of young people and people that are going to come to the Lord and get closer to the Lord? Those people, all of us, they need to see the real deal. Real love. Love that cares. 1 Corinthians 13:13. The greatest of these is love. So being able to love like Jesus is not something we can do just when you wake up in the morning, just say, you know what, I'm going to start loving everybody. I mean, you can get that in your mind, and it's awesome, good. But here's the truth. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to love like Jesus loved. Your sinful nature cannot get there. What I just read is not possible outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. Without God, we can try this. I remember when I was in first grade, second grade, I used to, you know, go to camp, come back home, and I'm going to be different. I'm not going to lie to my teachers. I'm going to be, and then, you know, I would mess up and lie to my teachers because I didn't want to get in trouble. And then it would just fade by the wayside. It would just fade by the wayside. And because why? I was trying to do it in my little understanding that I had. I was trying to do it in my own strength, in my own power. The gifts of the Spirit, loving people, none of this comes. There are people who've perfected it, how to just come across as really nice and care. But the real, real deal love, where you care for somebody expecting nothing in return just because God loves us and doing things for people, that love, that power, that real deal only comes from the Holy Spirit in you. You can kind of manufacture it to some extent and be nice, but at the end of the day, we need Holy Spirit-empowered love. Being able to love like Jesus doesn't come on our own abilities. It's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead that will give us the power to love. When people begin to see that you love them and that you really don't want anything in return, you know how rare that is? That's not. People don't do things unless they want something in return. Amen? But God's love. Jesus died knowing that people would reject him. He knew that people were going to reject him. Millions and millions of people rejecting him. And yet, love. When you begin to do things for people, when you begin to start caring in ways that the Holy Spirit is just kind of just giving you a heart to care and love, it's doing it expecting nothing in return. That is why we do outreaches. We go to the colonias and we help people, and we don't expect anything in return from them. We just want them to know that we care. And Jesus loves them. That is the kind of solid Jesus Christ as a cornerstone foundation people that need to start leading that harvest. You catch the vision? We don't just want people to come to Jesus. We want them to be standing on a cornerstone of Jesus as they grow in the Lord. And that is true for each and one of us in this place. We don't want just to go through the motions. We want, no matter what trial we go through, no matter what persecution we go through, no matter if our family starts making fun of us because we're getting closer to the Lord, and that happens all the time. None of that, no matter what, we want what Jesus has for us. We want what is real. And the people need to see that in us. So I want to encourage you today. When you pray tonight, when you get ready to go through the week and the trials and the things that are coming, even when you're struggling, love. Love. Care for people. Love people. Expecting nothing in return. As we read in the last few weeks, that story where Jesus looks out and he sees the people and he has compassion on them. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray for the laborers to come forth. That's what we're doing here this fall. We're preparing laborers. You are the laborers. You might have an opportunity to speak to somebody about your faith, about who you trust about your life, who's your foundation. You're the laborer that's going to, you're going to share that with the harvest, with somebody who needs to hear it. Have this passion that Jesus had. So in the context of preparing for the harvest, it is so important that no matter what the circumstances are in our lives, that we love and care for people. What good is it to do many things for Jesus and to forget to love and care for people? That's what Paul said. It's nothing. The Bible says we're nothing without love. So true. So whatever that means to you, because the Holy Spirit reveals this to us all in different ways. Whatever that means to you, I want to challenge you. Begin to love. Begin to tell somebody, hey, I'm praying for you. But really mean, you know, care for them. Begin to change your heart. Begin to care. Maybe there's somebody that's been coming to church and you haven't seen them for a while, and then you might want to add them to your prayer list. Get their number and find out. And you love and you care. One at a time. One thing about love that I've come to learn is that kind of goes with the last part, being steadfast in difficult times without weakening, is you got to keep showing up. Right? You can't run away. You got to keep showing up. When you love, you're there. And that's why it's important that as we keep growing, we keep showing up. Keep showing up. Keep making sure that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our heart. Don't focus on your problems. Focus on loving people, caring for people. And God will turn your problems to hope and to life. You know, I did a study on God's character. And one of the ones that I remember about them, and I might resurrect those back because I want to review those again, because it's good that we know God's character. Because in every trial that you're going through, God's doing something. He's doing something. And one of them was this. It is God's character to turn what seems dead to life. And whatever it is that you're going through, know that God's in the process of turning your situation from death to life, from darkness to light. That's who He is. That's what He's doing. Trust Him in that journey. Trust Him in that journey. Ask Michelle to come forth. And I want everyone to just, we're going to pray right now and close your eyes, bow your heads. And I want you to think about this word love in terms of caring for people. Expecting nothing in return. Caring for people, expecting nothing in return. That's exactly what Jesus did. And He's asking His people. In this 1 Corinthians chapter, He says, love. If you don't have it, it's nothing. So maybe in your life, you can think of a situation where you need to love like Jesus says, like we just read. We need to hold no grudges, take no offenses. We need to love, expecting nothing in return. But something that speaks to your heart. Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning. We just pray, oh Lord God, that You would reveal to us as a church that You are, by Your Holy Spirit, leading us to love people. The harvest is plentiful. You're preparing us, Lord, with the gifts of the Spirit being used according to Your word in order. And we loving people. Lord, the enemy has no chance when Your people begin to love. The enemy has no chance when we begin to be transformed by the power of love. So Lord, we receive this. Change us, Lord. We don't know how to love in our earthly sinful nature. But Lord, we know that You set the example. And You loved us. You died for us. And now You're calling us to love the harvest. To fall in love with the harvest. with people who need more of you. You've asked us to fall in love like you fell in love with us. You're asking us to care for people like you care for us. You're asking us to be merciful to people, to be patient with people. Because love covers a multitude of sins. It is love. The church needs to come back to love. Holy Spirit, forgive us for only looking at ourselves. Lord, forgive us. Teach us to love, expecting nothing in return. For every home that's represented today, Lord, every household, Lord, we pray that you begin to fill those homes with love. With love. Love, peace, and joy. Lord, we, the body, are being prepared for such a time as this. Being prepared for the harvest. We want to love like you did. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. When you begin to love and care for others, God begins to move on your behalf to answer your prayers. When we begin to pour out, God pours in. And those prayers that you have, and those things that you want changed, here's the mystery. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. When you begin to pour out, God begins to pour in and fulfill the desires of your heart. Love. Love. Stay seated and let's just absorb what the Holy Spirit is doing to us today, teaching us to love and care, humbling ourselves to care for others like we care for ourselves. Let's just sing together. And